of our prayer tonight, I'd like to observe a moment of silence in honor of the passing of Othello City Councilmember Dan Deaver, and then I will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You may be seated. Item 1.3 on our agenda tonight is roll call. And tonight we have all our council members present, except for Dan Deaver, which we will address later on in our meeting tonight. Item 1.4, resolution relevant to citizen input during city council meetings. I'd like to read this new resolution to be adopted tonight by the city council. A resolution adopting a process for public comments at city council meetings. Whereas a governing body has the right to establish rules for the conduct of its business as set forth in RCW 35A.12.120. The Othello City Council conducts its meetings using Robert's Rules of Order, which is confirmed by RCW and enshrined in parliamentary law. Whereas at the beginning of my term as mayor, the public has been allowed to speak at both the citizen input portion of the meeting and at different times to comment during the city council business portion of the meeting. And whereas it is interesting to note that in the state of Washington, the public has the right to attend meetings, but does not have the right under state constitution nor by statute to speak at them. Nevertheless, the mayor and city council have allocated up to 5 minutes for its citizens to address the council with their input. And whereas the mayor and the members of the city council were elected by the free will of the people to make decisions on their behalf with regard to matters of business importance that pertain to city government. While citizens have the right to have their grievances redressed, that right is not solely confined to a city council meeting. And whereas citizens of Othello are encouraged to bring their suggestions, ideas, and grievances to the attention of their elected officials who are commissioned with the responsibility to respond. While council members are not required to respond by state constitution or statute, their failure to do so may affect the outcome of their next election. And whereas, starting with the meeting tonight, absent a public hearing where public comment is allowed, the Othello City Council will hear public comment from the public at the citizen input portion of the meetings for up to 5 minutes. If a citizen raises their hand to speak during the business portion of the council meeting, a council member must first recognize the member as someone they want to hear input to the business at hand, and make a motion to recognize the citizen to speak up for up to 5 minutes on that issue and keep their remarks germane. The council will then vote if they want to hear input from that citizen during their business discussion. Therefore, be it resolved, these rules are now official for city council meetings and are hereby adopted effective May 27, 2014. And at this time, I would entertain a motion to adopt this resolution.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
We have a motion made and seconded to adopt the new rules for citizen input at the city council. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And with that, we will now move to 1.5, citizen input. If there's any citizen in the community who would like to address the city council, please step to raise your hand and be recognized, and you may step to the microphone for up to 5 minutes to be heard. Is there anyone here tonight? Seeing none, we'll move on to number two on our approval of agenda. At this time, I would entertain a motion to approve our agenda tonight.
We'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 3, consent agenda. The following items will be enacted by one motion. If separate discussion is desired, that item may be placed on the regular agenda with concurrence of the council. Request to remove items should be made under agenda item 2, approval of agenda. At this time, I would entertain a motion to accept our consent agenda for tonight.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item number 4, current business. Moving on to item 4.1, police sergeant's recognition and oath of office. Interim Police Chief David Rim would like to recognize promotions within the Othello Police Department. In our recent interviews for police sergeant, one candidate distinguished himself from his peers, and Interim Police Chief Dave Rim would like to recognize Josh Silva tonight.
Council, Mayor, I'd like to introduce you to Sergeant Josh Silva, who was born in Spokane and raised here in Othello, graduating from Othello High School in 2003. Sergeant Silva attended the University of Washington with an interest in health information management. While there, he became interested in law enforcement and moved back home. Sergeant Silva became a member of the Othello Police Department in June 2009. He is married to his wife, Annika, and Othello is their home. I have worked with Sergeant Silva, and I've seen him teach younger officers valuable skills in building searches and officer safety. Sergeant Silva is a talented communicator who understands the importance of mentorship. Sergeant Silva knows that a good sergeant and one who sets high standards, high expectations, and good examples, and is not afraid to get their hands dirty. Josh, always remember that this is leadership and management, and communication is key. Part of being in law enforcement is knowing your foundation. The oath of office sets a foundation for us, and we're here as witnesses to Sergeant Silva reaffirming his oath. Sergeant Silva, please face me. Raise your right hand. I state your name.
I, Joshua Silva.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution and laws of the State of Washington.
The Constitution and laws of the State of Washington.
The Charter and ordinances of the City of Othello, Washington. Abide by the Law Enforcement Code of Ethics as adopted.
And abide by the Law Enforcement Code of Ethics as adopted.
By the Othello Police Department.
By the Othello Police Department.
That I will faithfully, honestly, and impartially.
That I will faithfully, honestly, and impartially.
Perform and discharge the duty of patrol sergeant.
Perform and discharge the duty of patrol sergeant.
During my continuance as such.
During my continuance as such.
So help me God.
Sergeant Silva, do you want to say a few words, you and your wife? Your whole family's here, come on.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. My wife's a big supporter of me in law enforcement. Difficult it is to be a police officer's wife.
Well, on behalf of the Othello City Council, we welcome you as a sergeant in our police department. Thank you very much. Are you done? Okay, thank you. Moving on to item 4.2, proclamation honoring Dan DeWitt Deaver. I'm going to read a proclamation honoring Dan Deaver, a recently departed council member. This proclamation is in recognition of the many years of selfless volunteerism and dedication to the citizens' organizations and the City of Othello by Dan DeWitt Deaver. Whereas the City of Othello in memoriam would like to offer special recognition to the volunteer efforts of Dan Deaver. And whereas Dan Deaver taught in the Othello School District for 21 years, and whereas Dan Deaver was instrumental in helping to obtain funding to develop the city skate park, and whereas Dan has contributed countless volunteer hours to the Lions Club, Othello Choral Orchestra Society, Othello Theater Guild, Hospital Board, Farmers Market, Adams County Fair, Park Board, and whereas Dan Deaver, for prior accomplishments, has been given the key to the City of Othello. And to honor him in light of his passing last week, the City of Othello will fly the flag in front of City Hall at half-mast every day through Friday, May 30th, 2014. May God rest his soul in peace. Now, therefore, I, Sean Logan, Mayor of Othello, do hereby proclaim that Dan DeWitt Deaver be recognized and acknowledged by all citizens for his valuable and meritorious service to this city, signed this 27th day of May, 2014. As we move down into our agenda, item 4.3 is a request to install a sign at Lions Park for the Lions Club, and Wade, or was that Molly? I'm sorry, Molly, apologize. You have a staff report?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. The Othello Lions Club, for those of you that don't know, is a service organization that has a long history here in Othello. They're coming up on their 60th anniversary here in town, and they were instrumental in basically outfitting Lions Park when it was first year in town with park shelters, irrigation, and just really working to make Lions Park what it is today, the 27-acre park that the citizens enjoy to this day. The Othello Lions Club has approached the city and has approached staff with a request to donate a sign in Lions Park. The sign will look very similar to that in the attachments. There should be a picture of the Kiwanis Park sign. The sign will stand 8 feet wide by 4 feet high, and once installed will measure about roughly 9 feet tall. So with the signage, what the Lions Club hopes to do is to not only to identify Lions Park as the only sign in the park is the water tower that says Lions Park, but to also honor the service of both their organization and of Laverne Hump Pryor, who the ball fields are named after in Lions Park. And so with that, they have requested to donate this sign and to have it installed on the corner of 7th Avenue and Pine Street, facing both streets, so it's at an angle. Like I said, to identify the park, but to also honor those and to honor those who have volunteered for the community and made so many efforts to volunteer their time and to make an impact on the community, like the Lions Club has, as well as Laverne Hump Pryor. So as attached, council can see the picture of the sign, which is up now, and the Lions Club has let me know that the while they have received the drawings and the dimensions for the sign, that they are holding off on production on the sign until council has approved the install and the acceptance of this sign. So with that, attached is a resolution, and staff asked that council approve the request to accept the donation of the sign for Lions Park from the Othello Lions Club.
Questions, council? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion to accept the Lions Club sign donation.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Molly.
Thank you.
The next item on our agenda is 4.4, grant application for Farmers Market Promotion Program. Jennifer Durapo Hong has a presentation for us.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. A couple months ago, the city sent me to a grant writing class, and so since then, we've kind of been in search of what we want grant money for, because that's how you have to look for it. And grant from the USDA that is a farmers market promotion program. And essentially, what I am proposing is that we build a permanent farmers market, a covered structure offering shade to the vendors at the corner of Pine Street and 9th Avenue across from Lions Park. It would be an ideal location because it is right in line with the restrooms at the park. You'd have the traffic and the visibility from the park on Saturdays during the ball games and when there's a lot of activity there. And what we are proposing is to put a shelter along the east and the south sides of the property on this current vacant lot. And then the remaining area would be trees, grass, very park looking, some picnic tables that people could possibly enjoy what they purchased at the farmer's market. It sounds like kind of a big undertaking for using one day a week for a few hours a day. So what staff has discussed is maybe the possibilities of all the additional uses that this facility could offer. I understand the city has been working towards a community center. This isn't exactly a community center. Could be a version of that vision that the city has. It could be an opportunity to create a community meeting place, a multi-use facility, and it would be a fraction of the cost to build and maintain this structure than it would be a full community center. The grant is for minimum grant amount is $15,000, the maximum is $100,000. There is no matching fund requirement, although it could possibly help us get the grant. The application is actually due June 20th, so we kind of have a short time frame that we're working with, which isn't uncommon with these types of grants. We have come up with some other uses for the facility. It could possibly be used for a craft fair or maybe a vintage market, recycled art fair type of event, a spring plant sale perhaps by the Master Gardeners or the Beautification Committee or the FFA. Chamber event, possibly, if they were interested, do a tree lighting during the holidays. Would be ideal for 4th of July activities that we have in Lions Park. Old Hotel may be interested in having an art sale there. And so there's just almost countless possibilities of what we could do with this. We've also kind of toyed around with the idea of putting a stage area in it, in the corner of the structure. That way, it's not uncommon at farmers market to have a little bit of music going on, or it would just entice the facility to be used for other items, for other events. That's really all I have.
Go to that bottom picture. There you go.
The gable picture?
Yeah.
We're kind of suggesting that we build this type of a structure. The reason we like it, the reason staff is interested in it, is because it's just got that single line of posts. And what we're thinking is it would be a one-way entrance into the farmer's market, and then the vendors could back their trucks in and sell off the backs of their pickups, and there's fewer posts to run into if we do it this way.
So Jennifer, thank you for putting this together. So really what you're looking for is just a consensus from the council to pursue grant opportunities for this vision?
That is correct.
Council?
Yeah.
All for it.
You're all for it?
Yeah.
That's great work.
Thought it was a great idea.
Don't leave out the stage area, though.
Yeah.
I like the stage area.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. We kind of had a thought on staff that this wouldn't be the community center that the council set out to build, but there's no reason we can't make this the center of our community.
True.
It could be a very wonderful facility.
Excellent work, Jennifer. Thank you very much. Moving along to item 4.5 in our agenda, new public records policy. And the staff and legal have been busy working together to set forth a new public records policy for the city of Othello. And Anna France is present with us tonight. Maybe you should explain to the council why you're here tonight first instead of Catherine.
And then go into the... Yeah, for those of you who haven't seen me, I'm Anna France. I work with in Catherine Kennison's office.
The policy before you tonight is the public records policy, and it supersedes the old policy. So it adds clarification on title. This is a policy to instruct staff on how to process public records requests that are received under the Public Records Act, which is a Washington statute that requires that the city allow access to public records. So I believe this has been reviewed by the Attorney General. It's in conformance with the model rules that are set forth in the Washington Administrative Code that's established by the Washington Attorney General, the Washington Attorney General's office. So it really just provides a lot of clarification to staff for processing on in regards to a lot of the issues that we've experienced in addressing these public records requests.
Okay. Council? I can report that myself, Wade, and Debbie, and Rebecca, and Jennifer have worked hours at these requests, and we've also, Catherine had pulled out a guideline she had sent to the city, a sample, and what we did is we took that sample and we've reworked it a number of times, and as Anna had mentioned, spoke to the state attorney general's office where they did their review with us over the phone, and we believe this is a policy that will help guide not only the city staff, as Anna said, but also the public as to the way the city will handle these records requests in the future. Is there any other comment?
I think it's a great idea, especially bringing in a concordance with the RCWs.
Thank you. All right, with that, I would entertain a motion to approve the city's public policy records.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
We have a motion made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Moving along to item 4.6, 2014 Othello Traffic Corridor Study, Task Order Number 9-14. Larry Julius?
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor and Council. Recently, staff requested that we put together a task order to complete a traffic analysis in and along basically four different corridors in the community, primarily due to the potential for growth, residential, commercial, industrial, throughout the community, 14th Avenue being the one that is leading the charge, if you will, from Cemetery Road to State Route 26. What with the schools, the new housing developments, the potential for CBHA and their healthcare campus, other proposed improvements. There's been talk about commercial establishments right along the highway at 14th. The city has funds to widen and reconstruct 14th Avenue from Cemetery Road to SR 26. There's talk of roundabouts or potentially traffic signals. And the city wants to get a handle on just what the impact is with all this potential traffic, not only on 14th, but some of the ancillary roads that would lead up to 14th. 7th Avenue, 1st Avenue, they're all going to be affected by potential growth throughout the community, especially on 14th. And while we're at it, they wanted to just look at Broadway, all the way from Lee Road down to Bench Road, for the potential growth in and along that corridor. The city is attempting to receive funding for the SR 24 industrial area. We've just completed the sewer to the Moon Street or Moon Road area. So that area is primed for growth also. So this study will analyze the traffic at 19 different intersections throughout town, primarily along those four routes, 1st, 7th, Broadway and 14th. We'll look at the number of traffic or vehicles, the type of vehicle, whether it's a passenger car or a big truck, turning movements, which way the vehicles are going once they get to the intersection, and then do level of service analysis. Level of service basically is capacity. There's a number of different level of service categories, all the way from the intersection is fine, you don't need to do anything with it, to right now it's gridlock. And I think 14th, particularly around the schools, people can attest it's pretty close to that in the morning. We'll review and analyze each of those intersections and come up with an analysis, a study of what the current traffic patterns are like, current traffic volumes are like, and project into the future with the different growth, residential, commercial, et cetera, that's being looked at, what sort of impact or mitigation could occur at these major intersections. And they could range anywhere from do nothing to stop signs, to traffic signals, to roundabouts. We already know that from past experience, Department of Transportation has talked about mitigation at State Highway 26 and 14th. So we want to be able to be ahead of the curve when developers do come up and say, we have this proposed development. We can say, depending upon your amount of traffic, this is what we think the impact is going to be on our streets. And with that, if there's any questions, we'll be happy to answer them.
So Larry, the main purpose of this study is for the future growth of the community with regard to impact
exactly
on a development. And right now, let me say this. The City of Othello, with this type of information, can be much better prepared to meet developers and others who want to develop within the city. That way, when we begin to start to set out a list of what's going to be required within that development, information from this study will go towards that list.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's another tool for the city to have in its toolkit.
Yes. In addition, when we apply for funding for state TIB grants and others, this will also help and assist.
Yes, it will.
Okay.
Any transportation funding application is always asking for, have you done traffic counts? And we can say, yes, we have. They're right here.
Okay.
Well, any future SEPAs that would be wrote would, you know, definitely pertain to this.
Yes.
Information for traffic flows.
And it'll allow growth to pay for growth. So the city can say to developers, this is your share of that mitigation.
How often does a study like this need to be updated in order to keep us current?
Ooh, good question, Gina. A lot of it depends upon where the growth is.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're just doing traffic counts, I'd say every 2 to 4 years. That's why a lot of communities will have their own equipment or go through the regional transportation planning organization. We're part of Quadco here, and they do have traffic counters that the city can borrow. Sometimes they're very hard to get a hold of. Sometimes they don't work very well. But it is something that can be done.
Did we start something already, though?
I saw the tubes out there, and I've got a note to call the company that we sub out that to, because we told them the meeting was tonight, that we don't do anything until we go through council, but
I think they're already doing it.
I think what they want to do is get a jump.
Down on Broadway.
So,
yeah.
And
7th and 14th.
Oh, we've already started.
And I do apologize for that, but I think what they wanted to do was make sure they got the counts before school was out.
I see.
Okay.
Otherwise, the numbers will be skewed.
I have another question this morning on Spencer's part. Was this a budgeted item in the budget, or is this something that we're going to have to work into the budget?
This is not a budgeted item. This is something that we'll want to bring to the Finance Committee, and we can discuss a few different options. The first thoughts that I have are obviously the street fund. The utility tax fund is also an option. but we would have sufficient funds in our street fund to do this the way the year is planned out right now.
Council, any other questions? Larry? Any further discussion? I'd entertain a motion then to approve this task order.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
We have a motion made and second to approve task order number 914 for the Othello traffic study in the amount up to $38,000. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Mayor, I'd also like to request of staff that we look at making sure that this gets into the rotation of our budget every 2 to 4 years to be updated.
Noted. Thank you. Gina.
As part of what? Street funds or public works? What do you want to?
It would probably have to be under the street fund for street counts, but it would be for to update for our growth. You know, it could be to the area where the counts are taken can be shifted, but I would like to see it put into the budget rotation.
It would really help with our 6-year street plan, mm-hmm. also.
And the cost would be a lot less than this just to do the traffic counts and yeah. review the turning movements, et cetera.
Yeah.
So you're saying that the initial cost up front is higher than the review?
Yeah, because this is the analysis looking at impacts, mitigation. Once we have that established, the updates of the traffic counting is going to be, well, the 19 intersections here is about 12,000 of the 38. So if we just do one corridor at a time every couple of years, it'll be a fraction of that.
And then it would cost us a little bit more for the analysis if we ever need it, but we'd have the counts
sure.
available.
Excellent.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
Our next item is 4.7, announcement of city council vacancy. With the passing of Dan Deaver, we now have a vacant seat on the Othello City Council, position 7. And after consultation with staff, we have come up with an ad for the Othello Outlook. Here is your chance. The city of Othello is currently accepting applications for the city council vacancy. Those applications can be picked up at City Hall, or they can be obtained on the othello.wa.gov website under applications for boards, commissions, and committees. We'll be accepting applications until 5 p.m. Monday, June 16th, 2014. And right now I'm gonna outline the process of selecting our next city council person. The city is formulating a series of questions to be asked of each applicant for the council. And the questions will be given shortly after the application to the applicant so that they have time to prepare a response to these questions. The interviews will be conducted in open session of the city council meetings on June 9th and on June 23rd. And the new city council member will be decided upon at the conclusion of the meeting on the 23rd. If you have any further questions about the process, whether you're eligible, you do have to be a resident of the city limits of Othello. And I don't believe you have to be 18 years of age. And can you think of any other requirements, Anna?
No, I think those two are the.
Those are the two main ones. Okay. If you have any further questions, you can contact our city administrator, Wade Ferris, and he can fill you in on more details, okay? Thank you. Molly wants to present an amendment on item 4.8 to resolution and facility use and indemnification agreement to change the story presentation. Molly?
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Council may remember at the April 14th, 2014 regular city council meeting, the Othello Christian Church requested use of the gravel lot on 9th Avenue and Pine Street for the Compassionate International Change the Story experience. And just briefly, that event is an event that basically takes viewers through the life of a child that is impoverished in a third world country. And it is basically, they set up two trailers and the viewers walk through, kind of are able to see the lives that these children live. And it's a program to help reach out and to hope to find people that are willing to sponsor these children in these countries, whether it's through monetary purposes or through religious purposes. And so with that, in addition to their request, they have also requested, or the Othello Christian Church has also requested to use Lions Park on the Sunday of this event, which would be June 1st, in order to have the Othello Christian Church to have their church do a church service in the park. They plan on bringing a stage into the park in the general location where the 4th of July event is. And with that, they'll have a worship service that begins at 10, and at 10:30 they'll have a picnic in the park. And after that, then they will clean up the event. So with that, they would just like to request a change to the resolution to allow for the use of Lions Park in coordination with this Change the Story event for Sunday, June 1st.
So they just want to add a worship service?
Right, they want to use Lions Park to be able to have the worship service, correct.
Okay, Council? Good. All right. This time I'd entertain a motion to approve this amendment to the resolution.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve the resolution to the use agreement for the story presentation. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Molly?
Thank you.
I don't believe you're done. Item 4.8, resolution for use of city property for Columbia Basin Health Fair.
Thank you. The Columbia Basin Health Association employees have begun preparation for their 2014 Columbia Basin Health Association Health Fair. And with this, they have requested use of Kiwanis Park for this third annual event. It's scheduled to take place Saturday, August 2nd, from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. With the event, they seek to inform residents of Othello and surrounding areas on different health practices, get them in touch with the providers that they have at Columbia Basin Health Association, and educate parents and families on child safety. I know they've had car seat fitting with the police department in the past. The fire department is generally on hand to kind of, you know, show the kids the fire truck and to talk about safety. And also they plan to have a number of their representatives on hand just to discuss a number of health-related topics with those in attendance. So with that, they plan to set up the event from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturday the 2nd. Like I said, the event will take place from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. And after that will be cleanup will be from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. In the attached resolution, we have outlined that due to the number of attendees that they expect at the event, which is under 500 people, Public Works will assist them with providing additional toters in the park for the additional occupants in the park, and they will also be given use of all the shelters in the park for this event. So with that, staff asks that City Council approve the request for use of city property for the Columbia Basin Health Association Health Fair.
I noticed we got a couple representatives from Columbia Basin Health. Do you have anything you would like to add to it or say?
Okay. This is something we've done every year since forever, isn't it?
This is my third year with it.
This is the third year. Okay. Usual event. Council?
I think this is a great event, you know.
So we need from us a motion.
We need a motion.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
We have a motion made and seconded to approve the resolution for the use of city property by Columbia Basin Health Association for their health fair. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, Molly. As we move along in our agenda, Wade has a report on the Prothman Consulting contract.
Mayor and Council, if you recall, a few meetings ago, a couple minutes ago, we talked about a different direction by building the planning department and using the Prothman agency to provide us with a consultant to provide us a way forward. So we've worked on that. We've got a consultant lined up. I've had several phone conversations with him. He does appear to know what he's talking about. As far as I can tell, he's helped guide us in making sure we get the kind of person we need, or at least set that up for us. And you have the packet of the contract for that with a price of $11.55, I think, something like that. But with travel and everything, it's probably going to come out around somewhere between $1,500 and $1,700. That's for one-day consulting, plus numerous phone conversations, plus writing a report and helping us guide through the hiring process. Pretty good deal, we think, to help plan the city's future. So with that, I'd ask for council to approve that contract so we could go on this. And Mr. Bob Jean, in fact, is going to come out next week to start this process if you guys approve that.
Council?
So what this person basically can do, he's going to take a look at our building and planning, and kind of put, or see what kind of a person we need, all the job descriptions that are going to go along with this person.
Well, exactly. What we're looking at, Ken, actually, is setting up that department. This, we may need one person, we may end up getting another part-time person. We're not sure yet. That's what he's going to do. He's going to let us know after he looks at the city. His plan is to roll in the city around lunchtime, meet with the mayor and I over lunch for about an hour. We'll go out there and look around the city, look at the things we have going on, talk to him again about what we have, look at our planning and building department as it is now, and then take that information with him when he leaves and develop that plan for us.
Make recommendations from there.
Recommendations for that. What kind of person we need to start this process off with a full-time person in that planning and building department. We'll see what that looks like. Again, we may need somebody besides just the one full-time. We don't know just yet, right? And I'm not going to even speculate.
Yes. So. Great.
Okay. Do we want to allow the council input into Bob Jean's visit?
Absolutely. If you guys have input, you'd like to do that. He's planning on being here next Wednesday, I think it's the 4th, around noontime. So if you guys want input, or even, I suppose, attend the lunchtime meeting around noon, we're going to probably just get some sandwiches from Subway. And
I think that's a great idea.
Room 3 or something. So if you guys would like to attend and make your inputs, that'd be great. The more input, the better.
Yes.
Could you please send us an email reminder on that?
I'm sorry.
Could you please send us an email reminder on that?
Sure. We'll do that.
Okay. Okay. Any further questions of Wade? Okay. With that, thank you, Wade.
Okay.
I would entertain a motion to authorize the mayor to sign a consulting contract with the Prothman Company.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Item 4.11, summary of municipal code restrictions regarding fireworks. Molly has, at our last city council meeting, we had our public hearing on the ordinance that was before us to repeal the ban on fireworks in the city and authorize the use of temporary retail booth locations to sell fireworks inside the city limits. The council elected to table that issue until we could gather more information with regard to restrictions that were done in other cities. And so Molly Clippard, Park and Recs Director, has compiled a compendium of information with regard to that. And Molly, you had a report.
Thank you. So as the mayor mentioned, it was requested that we go and do some research. The council requested more information regarding the possibilities for restrictions that could be put in place if fireworks are approved within the city, both sales and discharge within city limits. After talking with Wade, it was decided to research some of the towns on the eastern side of the state due to just a different climate. There's a lot more hazards when you have a dry climate than when you do a more wet one. We have the same geography, and so it would be a little bit more applicable to Othello than it would be looking at, Seattle area or west side towns. And so within the research that staff has, or that the council has received, there's a number of documents. The first is area sales and use code restrictions regarding fireworks. This outlines a number of the Eastern Washington cities and just a brief overview of their restrictions that are in place on fireworks sales and discharge in their city. The Washington State Patrol was one step ahead of us and put together a list of fireworks bans and restricted sales by county and by city throughout the state of Washington. So that is also helpful for council to look at and kind of understand where it's allowed, where it's not allowed, and any brief restrictions that are in place. And also attached is the RCW regarding the state fireworks law that is put in place by the state fire marshal, which is referenced in a lot of the municipal code restrictions. A lot of them just say reference the state fireworks code, and that is their municipal code. So I just wanted to go over a couple commonalities that can be found within the different fireworks restrictions that you can find on the area sales and use code restrictions. One of the things that you'll find that these have in common is a definition of what legal fireworks are. And a number of the towns and cities that allow fireworks reference the state fireworks law, RCW 70.77, as to which types of fireworks are deemed safe and which are deemed dangerous. So that was found in a number of the cities that we looked at. Another common thing we found was a schedule for dates and times for allowed sales, as well as a schedule of dates and times for discharge. You'll notice that the sales begin on June 28th and end on July 5th. And then they also begin again on December 31st and end on January 1st. So a lot of those have to do with the different holidays that one would expect to see fireworks, which is 4th of July and New Year's. And so that outlines times that people are able to sell those within city limits and also discharge them within city limits. A number of the cities also listed restricted areas that fireworks could be sold and or discharged. The city of Walla Walla outlines a number of their historical areas, so Fort Walla Walla, and I believe over by the Whitman Mission, and also areas of town down on Main Street where there are a lot of people. They are not allowed to be discharged or sold. So that's a restriction that the council may want to think about as to different areas that are allowed to have them sold or discharged. And another commonality we found was a minimum age requirement for a number of things that have to do with fireworks. So it's unlawful to sell or give fireworks to anyone under the age of 16. Unlawful for a parent to allow a child to possess, use, or transport fireworks without immediate supervision, which is nice because that does not clarify whether it's their parent or not. It just has to be adult supervision. And then also that it is unlawful for anyone under the age of 16 to possess, use, or discharge fireworks without immediate adult supervision. And I believe within those code restrictions, it does outline that the legal guardian is then ticketed for those minors having possession or shooting them off without parental supervision. So those are just a number of commonalities that we found within the area fireworks restrictions. And just for council's note, the city does have a current budget for $5,000 for the public display of fireworks for the 4th of July event, and we do have that contract that is ready to sign from the Western Fireworks Display whenever council decides they would like to move forward with that, or if they would like to make any changes to that as well. Any questions on the research that we have put together?
Thank you, Molly. Very comprehensive.
Mm-hmm.
Council? Okay.
Thank you.
No, that's okay. No questions.
I do want to say one thing. As I looked at that second attachment, go back up to 4.11 on the agenda, the area sales and use codes and slash restrictions, the one I think that would be important for our city has to do with the minimum age. They specify within their ordinance, Benton City and also the city of West Richland both specify a minimum age. It shall be unlawful for any person or corporation to sell or give fireworks to anyone under age 16 unless that person is under the immediate supervision of an adult. And it shall be unlawful for a parent, guardian, or other person responsible for a child under age 16 to allow that child to possess, use, discharge, or transport any fireworks unless that child is under the immediate supervision of an adult 18 years age or older. And it shall be unlawful for any person under the age of 16 years to possess, use, discharge, or transport fireworks unless that person is under the immediate supervision of an adult. So I know many of the problems that come up with fireworks are with children, unsupervised, and I think that that would need to be, if we're going to, that's one thing that is not in the state RCWs, and that's been local codes have adopted that, along with some dates, times, sales, and discharge times. If the council was of a mind to adopt this ordinance, those are some things that we could discuss. So let's move on now to item 4.12.
Well, okay, go ahead, but I have a question of Dave. How prepared are you as a police force of the city of Othello to enforce these ordinance if they're enacted?
As long as they're enacted and on the books, you can conclude anyway. The RCR is
good. Okay. So you'd be out there ticketing the people of Othello? But in the past report we heard from the fire chief, and you also spoke, you said that no infractions had been levied at all.
Not recently.
Okay. But we know that fireworks go on within the city of Othello, and it's restricted, or not even restricted, it's banned, period. But yet no action has been taken against those citizens that have violated that ordinance as of yet. So if we allow them and put restrictions on them, they're gonna continue to violate. Are we willing to and ready to enforce those violations? Well, I'd like to see everybody work in those 4 days and then writing as many tickets as possible. If we're gonna consider allowing this, you know, to repeal an ordinance that's been on the books since 1992, and we know illegal activities go on at this point in time, to even consider, and no violations are being wrote, to consider giving them free hand now. I want to be prepared to deal with it. If that's the case, if this gets passed, I want to be prepared to deal with it. We owe it to the people of the city to do that.
So what you're saying is that if we give the right back to the citizens of Ofello to display fireworks during the 3rd and 4th,
restricted use under an ordinance with restricted uses, that those restricted uses are enforced.
Followed properly and used. If not, they will be cited.
Whether it's age or dates or
yes.
What, we need to make sure that those
and
are
those
enforced.
Guidelines will be followed strictly.
Because right now, it's banned within the city of Ofello. Banned within the city limits of Ofello, and it takes place. And there has been no violations wrote that can be brought out to be proven. So if we're going to do this, we're going to do it right.
Okay. Thank you for your comments, John. I agree. We do need to do this right. So as we move on to item 4.12, to consider this ordinance to repeal and replace chapter 5.16 titled Fireworks. The city further research by staff finds that if the city adds restrictions above and beyond what the RCW specifies, we are not able to enact those restrictions until a year after the ordinance is passed. Therefore, staff has come up with four options, which are as follows. Number one, pass the proposed ordinance as presented May 12, 2014 with no further restrictions, which reflects state law. Number two, adopt the proposed ordinance, but with the caveat, that the city develop and add restrictions to be implemented the following year. Number three, pass an ordinance that includes additional restrictions that cannot be implemented until next year per RCW, or leave the ordinance number 879 banning fireworks in place. This present time, the city has option number one completed and can be implemented at the present time. If any other option is chosen, the ordinance will have to be a new ordinance will have to be created and approved at a later date. Those are the options now before the council. If you want to have one of those, if you want to discuss one of those options, you can put that option open with a motion and second it, and then we can have discussion and vote on it. But now the matter's in the hands of the Ofello City Council.
Okay. I've got a question. And one of the options we have is, let me clarify, we can adopt the repealing and replacing Chapter 516 fireworks with the following restrictions to be implemented in 2015. So we'd adopt the ordinance as is and then ask for additional restrictions to be placed in 2015, correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
I make a motion to take no action.
Is there a second on a motion to take no action? That motion fails for a lack of a second. I'll entertain another motion.
I'd like to make a motion to adopt the ordinance repealing and replacing Chapter 516 fireworks with the following restrictions to be implemented in 2015. And I would like to see us look into all of those restrictions, the legal fireworks definitions, the dates and times, the restricted areas for sales, purchase, discharge, and possession of fireworks, and the minimum age requirement.
We have a motion made. Rather lengthy. Can we have a second? Okay, now as far as discussion, can you clarify? You want to adopt the state law as it's currently, which is what we were presented on the 12th?
Yes.
And then you want, and then I to accomplish what I believe you want, the mayor would probably want to appoint a committee then to study and come back with the restrictions that it wants to add to the ordinance for next year to take into effect in 2015. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Is there any discussion on this motion?
To
That opens it up for fireworks sales this year?
Mm-hmm. Yes. It would open it up to follow state RCW
this year.
Yes.
Washington State RCW codes and guidelines without any restrictions that we, that the city itself.
Yeah, so for the first year, we would follow the RCWs, and then we would enact the additional restrictions in 2016.
I remind the council they have to take that action before the July 4th. So that would be on the June 20-something meeting. Do you have that date, Spencer? That would be the June 23rd meeting. We'd have to take action by then in order to have that these additional restrictions to go into effect for 2015, correct? Anna? Very good. Is there any further discussion to the amendment made by, or but the motion made by Councilwoman Doyle? Okay, hearing none. Call for the question. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. Which then leads us to item 4.13, ordinance to amend chapter 4.04. Business license for temporary fireworks stand. Stand a reason that if we're going to adopt a new ordinance repealing the fireworks ban, we need to change our code further to allow for fireworks stands. Wade, do you want to speak to that issue?
Yeah, as the mayor said, we have to, since we don't allow fireworks for sale now, we have to allow fireworks for sale within the city. And what the proposed ordinance would do is allow us to have two firework stands charging $500 each for their business license. And in order to do that, you all have to pass change to the business ordinance.
Okay. With that, is there any questions by the council of Wade?
I have a question. Is there any chance in the future to impose an additional tax on the sale of fireworks besides the Washington State sales tax for the purpose of funding?
Or just a limited?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. It would have to be it's just the general sales tax would only apply because there's no other statutory authorization.
Okay. Okay. Any further questions? I entertain a motion to take action to replace the fireworks chapter 5.116 in our ordinance to allow for fireworks stands.
And we are limiting it to two fireworks stands.
Yes.
Correct. I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Motion has been made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Something else I think we need to address that Molly brought up at the end of her presentation was that she isn't currently in receipt of a contract from Western Fireworks for the sum of $5,000. This is exactly half of what's been used the last 3 years. In the last few years, we've had a spectacular show. It's been a wonderful show, a lot of good comment. And I think if we jump it down to half, we're gonna be back where we were 5-6 years ago. And it's going to last about 10-15 minutes at the very most. We were kind kind of when we were in the budget process, we were hoping that the chamber would be in the position to jump back in and help fund some of this, but apparently they're not able to, my understanding. And it's left up to the city to do, so I think we need to take a look at that if we want to boost that back up to 10,000 and maintain what we've had, or let it go back to 5,000 this year.
Well, Councilman Johnson, do you want to make a motion?
I would make a motion that we increase the contract back to $10,000 this year for Western International Fireworks for the show.
I would second that.
We have a motion to increase the fireworks display to a total of $10,000. It's been made and seconded. Is there any discussion on that motion?
Where are we going to pay for it out of?
This would come out of the general fund. We have, right now, as you know, we have set, we've set $5,000 aside. If we raise it to 10, that would be another 5,000. It'd be offset by the projected $1,000 that we anticipate making off of these sales. So the total impact to the budget would be $4,000, and that'd be general fund.
Would the fireworks be considered a tourism item?
I think that argument could be made.
That might be something we want to look into, just to see if it's even a possibility.
Yeah. The general guidelines for us to use those mm-hmm. tourism dollars is our fireworks show going to bring people in from out of town? Mm-hmm. And so if we can justify saying yes.
And that would have to go in front of your committee. Mm-hmm. Which I see one of your members are here tonight, I think. So.
Yes. The chairman of the committee, the LTAC committee is present. Does the chairman of the LTAC committee have a comment? Fannie Morris.
It just keeps people in town instead of from going out of town.
Good point, thank you. I think if you go to the back to item 4.12 on the agenda, fireworks ordinance code changes, it says in there that 5.16090. Molly was in my office today, so I had the chance to have a discussion with her. It says applications which are incomplete or application for a public display of fireworks permit. In reading along, it says an application for a permit for the public display of fireworks shall be made on forms prescribed by the city and shall be submitted to this office of the finance director no later than 30 days prior to the public display. Item A would tell us that if we are going to increase this amount on the contract, we're going to do it tonight or we're not going to do it at mm-hmm. all. Because by our next city council meeting where we can take action is June 9th. Okay? Just wanted to point that out. With that, is there any further discussion on the motion to increase our fireworks public display budget from 5,000 to 10,000 with the amount likely coming from the general fund, according to our finance officer?
I just got one comment.
Yes.
We signed a contract with them for 3 years, I believe. And the more money that we spent, the more
fireworks we get.
Yeah, you're not gonna get just $5,000 more worth, you're gonna get, I don't know what the difference is, but you'll get more than the 5,000.
Can you confirm that, Molly? I think that's true. Is that correct?
I remember that being brought up last year.
Just to clarify, are you asking if we increase the budget amount, will we get more for free with the show? Yes. The budget does state, or the contract did state that the amount of free, I guess, options or what they would throw in for fireworks would change depending on our budget. So obviously if the budget decreases, those that amount of freebies will decrease. But so if we bump it back up, we will, I would assume that we would receive about the same amount that we did last year. And I can consult the contract real quick if you guys would like me to.
Is that necessary? Are you guys dissatisfied with our answer?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Molly.
Thank you.
With that, is there any further discussion on the motion before the board? Hearing none. All those in favor of the motion to increase our fireworks public display budget from 5,000 to 10,000 with the Western Display Fireworks Company, with the additional funds coming from the general fund, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Council. Our last item on the agenda is 4.14, ordinance amending Title 12, Water and Sewer. And Spencer has a staff report.
Yes. As you know, we've been reviewing all of our titles in our OMC, making sure that they're up to date with practices, up to date with laws, and consistent with the other parts of the OMC. Tonight, we're revisiting one of those sections, the Water and Sewer, Title 12, Water and Sewer. At our last meeting, we reviewed sections of this, looking at some of the updates that we made, and tonight we're bringing that back to you for your final consideration, and it's our recommendation that you move to accept this ordinance, which amends OMC Chapter 12, titled Water and Sewer.
Any questions of Spencer, Council? Comments? Thank you, Spencer, for your work and effort. We appreciate that. This time I'd entertain a motion to amend our OMC Chapter 12 titled Water and Sewer as recommended by staff.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
We have a motion made and second. Is there any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Is there any item number five, is there any unfinished business to come before the City Council tonight? Is there any new business, item six, to come before the Othello City Council tonight? The only mayor announcement is to remind council that next Monday night at 5:30, note the special time, we have our training for the public Open Public Meetings Act, as required now by statute, that each elected official in the state of Washington has to attend that training. And training, in addition, we get some bonus coverage with the bonus round of Robert's Rules of Order. And there was something else on the agenda. Do you remember? The what? Oh, yes. Again, I'm reminded that there is a Lions Club auction. You want to give us the date? Again, look, wait.
June 10th at 6:30 p.m. at the Senior Center.
6:30 p.m.
Tickets are $15. I have tickets in my office if you're interested.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay. Item 7, Council will also receive Department Heads' April reports. Nothing further on our agenda. I will now adjourn the meeting.
10th.